We all wish we could be like the characters in the movie Limitless, a simple pill that seems to solve all your problems. Learn a language in 6 hours, master complex formulas, write an entire book in a day, build code in a few hours. I mean, who doesn't want that? It's only a movie, but it was inspired by Adderall, the study drug that students often use to increase their focus, level productivity, and get better grades. Adderall increases dopamine and norepinephrine levels in the brain, directly stimulating the nervous system. But now, it's not only for students, but for adults as well, and its popularity has skyrocketed in recent years, causing massive shortages at the pharmacy. I'm Christy I, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today, we're going to be looking into what is causing all this Adderall shortage. So is this a supply chain issue, a pandemic-era surge in demand, or a government crackdown of raw ingredients? Well, demand for ADHD medication has surged since COVID-19 when the government made it easier to get through telehealth appointments. Like many crises, a lot of factors all came together to create the perfect storm. As people began working from home or helping kids with virtual schooling, they started to recognize that they were unable to concentrate and focus. People also reported feeling more depressed, isolated, anxious, and in a rut. All of these factors contributed to running to a telemedicine provider for an intervention or easy fix to help them accomplish their tasks. But neither drug makers nor the DEA anticipated this sharp rise in ADHD diagnosis during the pandemic. There are now reported shortages affecting nearly 40 different doses or formulations of generic Concerta, Ritalin, Vyndaqel, Forcalin, and of course, Adderall. The unexpected rise in demand was more to blame than manufacturing. Adderall prescriptions for adults rose 15.1% during 2020, double the 7.4% rise seen in the year before. However, the pandemic then changed everything. Studies have shown the pandemic affected people with ADHD more severely than those without the condition. And doctors have witnessed a surge in new ADHD patients during the pandemic as people who relied on physical workspace or classroom interaction realized that they couldn't regulate themselves at home. Working or studying from home was unmotivating, and they did not have the required discipline. As a result of COVID-19, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services authorized an emergency suspension of the 2008 Ryan-Haidt Act, which had banned the prescription of controlled substances by telehealth providers without an in-person examination. This rule change enabled a wave of telemedicine companies to reach ADHD patients through Zoom appointments. Telemedicine providers like Cerebral was pushing to hire nurse practitioners to prescribe stimulants to as many as 30 new patients a day in online evaluations that lasted as little as 10 minutes. However, that did not last, as federal investigators subpoenaed Cerebral in possible violation of the Controlled Substances Act. But by that time, the damage was already done, and millions of adults had already been hooked on Adderall thanks to a handful of telemedicine providers. Statistics show that Adderall is one of the most abused drugs in the U.S., so much so that the DEA is now proposing a requirement that patients be evaluated in person before receiving a class of tightly regulated drugs, citing the potential for abuse. However, patients are rejecting this proposal, citing that it may raise barriers again for people in underserved communities. Nearly 40% of all prescriptions for stimulants, including Adderall, were based on telehealth visits last year, up from less than 2% before the pandemic. The rise in Adderall prescriptions was primarily driven by adults between 22 to 40 years old, for whom they increased 58% between 2018 and 2022. And even as the pandemic has ended, many customers have gravitated to telehealth for its convenience and other perceived advantages. Now let's bring in Dr. Henry Koch, clinical psychologist specialist. So Henry, how addictive is Adderall and other ADHD stimulants, and what are the long-term effects on the body and mind?
The FDA considers it to be a drug that is capable of addiction, and it is one that is abused by people, and they often try and fake that they have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or they will falsely present their children to a doctor saying that they believe their child has ADHD, and they'll pretty much do whatever they can to get a subscription or prescription, I'm sorry, prescription, so that they can have access to the drug. Now, Adderall comes in two forms. One is more fast acting, and the other one is a slower acting. It's a slow release. And people who are interested in experiencing more of the high that comes from Adderall go for the quick release form of Adderall as opposed to the extended release. And Adderall is a medication which is made up of amphetamine salts. So really the active ingredient is that it's an amphetamine. So it gives the recipient who abuses the drug kind of a racy feeling, and also feeling of things going faster, experiencing more of a high as compared to, let's say, Valium or other benzodiazepines, which are more suited for people who want to have more of a kind of a laid back kind of high. So you have some people who prefer more of a racy high and other ones who want to kind of be more of a laid back, kind of like thinking like people who enjoy cocaine versus people who enjoy heroin. The recipient's experience of those drugs is diametrically opposed. So heroin, kind of people nod out on heroin, whereas cocaine people, you know, often associate that as a party drug or more of a racy drug, you know, something, you know, they may do at parties to stay up all night long, that kind of thing. And same thing with Adderall. It's in the stimulant class, and that's why people like to go for that drug because it gives them a feeling of having more energy than they normally would have.
And what percentage of Adderall prescriptions are actually misdiagnoses of people who don't actually have ADHD but want to abuse the prescription? And what percentage are people who are getting the prescription that may not necessarily need them?
Okay, and that's difficult to say. And that's something that, as a non-prescribing clinician who works in tandem with the prescribing physician, who would probably be a psychiatrist or a family physician or a pediatrician, as the non-prescribing clinician, we would be the ones that would be seeing those patients more regularly than would be the prescribing physician. So that'd be something we'd be on the lookout for. Is this a situation where a parent is falsely getting this medication supposedly for their children and they aren't even giving it to their children and they're using it themselves? Or is it something that as an adult, somebody's trying to do the same thing? So it's something that a vigilant doctor or counselor is always on the lookout for. In my own personal experience, I would have to say that if you really do a thorough diagnostic workup prior to prescribing or making a referral for a prescription to a prescribing doctor, if you do a thorough diagnostic workup, you're going to be able to catch these people, and usually you're not going to say to them, look, I think you're just doctor shopping and you're trying to get this drug. Normally what you'd be saying is, hey, I have good news for you. You don't have attention deficit disorder, but maybe you have some problems maintaining concentration and attention, and we can attempt to use other non-medication methods to improve your attention and concentration. If you have somebody who's truly experiencing those difficulties and they're told that, they'll be happy to hear that, and they'll be accepting of what you have to offer. People who are shopping for Adderall for misuse purposes, they usually are not pleased to hear that kind of response from the doctor, and they'll usually go off and try and find somebody else who who's going to be more accepting of being able to give them the diagnosis and get the medication.
Are adults more likely to become dependent on Adderall if they start using as kids?
No, not necessarily. And now Adderall is available in an extended release form, so it is that makes it less likely to be addictive. And also, there's another drug called Vyvanse, which is an extended release stimulant medication, which is also used for attention deficit disorder. And physicians will often prescribe that. And during the recent shortage with Adderall in the past year, Vyvanse was often turned to by physicians as an alternate to prescribing Adderall.
And do you think that we, as a society, are funneling too many of these drugs out into the world for an easy shortcut so that kids will behave and get good grades?
Well, we are. I mean, we're definitely a culture, and I can't speak outside of the United States, but it certainly seems to me that as an American culture, we're often quick to find a solution in a bottle. And that's unfortunate because people aren't really willing to put in the work to improve upon their situation in life. They're often looking for a quick fix, through a pharmacist or through a physician.
Thank you so much, Dr. Henry Koch, but please stick around. Dr. Henry Koch will be joining us back after the break. And when we come back, what segment of the population is abusing Adderall the most, and how are pharmacies controlling the supply of medication?
Turkey is already a NATO member, and Turkey is already doing its share as a NATO member, but it's not going by some of the American ideas of kind of economic embargoes against Russia. I think Turkey will continue that, not only because the relationship may be beneficial economically, but also because Russia has to be a partner in maintaining the international order.
I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
Есть места, когда ты выходишь, и, честно говоря, аж волосы шевелятся дыбом, потому что столько мусора. И вот бочки, миллионы бочек. В общем, когда половодье, естественно, это все поднимается, уходит в море.
Зачастую вот экологические все лозунги и экологические мероприятия, они глобально ни на что не влияют. Вот они просто создают видимость движухи, но глобально человечество как переводило за все увеличивающейся скоростью ресурсы, так и переводит. То есть, ну, тут как бы подход нужно менять.
Ты
здесь какое-то место силы тянет сюда просто. Вот. Очень многие люди, которые здесь раз побывали, потом приезжают снова и снова. Вроде бы разруха, вроде как бы так грустно смотреть, а что-то вот такое в нем есть.
Такая натуральная, чистая Арктика, как она и должна быть в наших глазах.
Чистить Арктику – это не просто какие-то слова, знаете, там какие-то лозунги или что-то еще. Для меня это настоящая судьба.
Это смысл всей моей жизни.
So what we've got to do is identify the threats that we have.
It's crazy.
Confrontation, let it be an arms race.
Who is on offense? Very dramatic development.
I personally am going to resist.
I don't see how that strategy will be successful.
Very critical time.
Time to sit down and talk.
Welcome back to The Cost of Everything. ADHD is actually a hardwired pattern of brain functions. National data suggests that 1 in 10 school-aged children meet this criteria, while 4% of adults continue to have symptoms. An epidemiological study of 20 countries from the World Health Organization surveys found that across high, upper middle, and lower middle income countries, the prevalence rates of ADHD in children and adolescents were the highest in the US at 8.1% and lowest in Poland at 0.3% and Romania at 0.4%. Data also suggests that ADHD is greater in males than females across all racial ethnic groups. Non-Hispanic Asian boys and girls, according to the Journal of Attention Disorder Study, where prevalence of ADHD was 11.3% among non-Hispanic white children and 10.7% among non-Hispanic black children, which is significantly higher than the 2.2 prevalence rate found among non-Hispanic Asian children in the study. Studies have also shown that prescription stimulants have little to no effect on the cognitive performance of adults without ADHD. But what it does give them is an elevated mood, like a high. And like all things that give people highs, this can be extremely addictive. And that is why amphetamine and methamphetamines are Schedule II controlled substances in the US, which means that it is an accepted practice for medical use, but has a high potential for abuse. The FDA has announced a shortage of ADHD medication Adderall in October of 2022, and so far, there have been no relief for patients. The FDA indicated that there is not an adequate supply to meet U.S. consumer demand. Meanwhile, people with ADHD have been forced to endure the shortage, and unfortunately, that population is growing. And making more tablets isn't as easy as just flipping a switch. Most ADHD medications fall into a class of controlled substances called central nervous system stimulants. These medications have a well-documented history of abuse and addiction. So the FDA and DEA limits how many pills a pharmacy can dispense at once and how frequently patients can refill their prescriptions. Adderall is a Schedule II controlled substance, which means the DEA limits how much of the drug the manufacturer can produce per year. The quota is limited through Adderall's addictive ingredient, amphetamine. And because of this, manufacturers are blaming ingredient scarcities for the shortage. And in order to set these quotas, the DEA must estimate how much Adderall patients will require the following year. If the agency underestimates demand and fails to increase its quota, the result can be a widespread shortage. However, the DEA announced last month that it will not be increasing the manufacturing quotas for 2023, despite the shortage again, without providing a reason. One congresswoman even wrote to the DEA and FDA demanding an explanation last December, but there has been no response. After the agency decides annual production quotas, manufacturers and distributors must set limits on how much of the meds each pharmacy can buy. Pharmacies must guard the substance under lock and key and fill out forms even if they lose a single pill. They can also refuse and report any suspicious orders of unusual size, frequency, or deviating substantially from a normal pattern. Many pharmacies also have monthly limits on how much of a controlled substance they can order from their wholesaler supplier. And this creates local bottlenecks at the retail level. This is a conservative system that is designed to keep just enough medication flowing to patients while also minimizing the risk of illegal diversion. And these quotas have been troublesome for many companies, including Novartis, owned by Sandoz, which makes the generic Adderall and Concerta. The shortage started as a production issue at Teva, one of the world's largest drug makers, which makes both generic and brand name Adderall. The official explanation has offered little clarity, as the announcement simply mentions intermittent manufacturing delays. Teva reportedly having issues with some of its Adderall dosage, particularly the more expensive brand name versions of its fast-acting tablets. The pharmaceutical industry shortages have also been caused by the dependence on China for raw materials. There are almost 50,000 factories in China that support a global network of companies and millions of raw and intermediary parts, which can disrupt any and all supply chains. And this not only applies to Adderall and acetaminophen, but also other critical drugs like amoxicillin and diabetes drug. And for more, let's bring in again Dr. Henry Koch, clinical psychologist specialist. So, doctor, do you think people that abuse Adderall are the culprits of the shortage? And when do you think the shortage will end?
Well, that's a supply chain problem. And it seems, I don't know if it's really something that's tied to the COVID difficulties and also the war in Ukraine, if somehow those are contributing to the supply problems or not. I really don't know what is causing the supply difficulty. The manufacturer for Adderall is Teva, T-E-V-A. And you'd have to look really into where their main production is occurring and what's involved with that as far as their being able to get the materials they need to be able to put together the Adderall compound.
And what do you think about the rise in telemedicine? Is this a good thing or a bad thing as regulators are trying to clamp down on telehealth prescriptions?
Well, telemedicine, I think, is very helpful for a lot of people for a variety of reasons that we really don't need to get into. But as far as the message of your question, doctors are still required to practice under the same rules and regulations with respect to providing prescriptions. So telemedicine probably puts more of a challenge to the prescribing physician to be able to weed out whether somebody is looking to receive a prescription for abusive purposes. Because when you have somebody in the office with you, you're getting much more information from them by their body language and how they are speaking to you and looking at you, which is qualitatively different from what you'll experience over a telephone or a Zoom or that kind of medium for being able to meet with a patient. So the responsibilities for the physician are the same, and I think the telemedicine makes it more challenging for them.
And will this increase in Adderall prescriptions cause any long-term effects on society? And is it harmful that all these prescriptions are just out there without any verification or control?
Well, there is control in the sense that, especially in the past 10 years when we were having the opioid crisis in this country, which we still have, but with the intervention of the federal government requiring a database to be established by prescribing physicians. There is now a better and more secure way to be able to track people as they attempt to get medications. It used to be without this database that an addict could go from one doctor to the next and get, you know, a handful of prescriptions without one physician knowing what the other one was doing. These days, it's much more difficult for that to occur. And physicians are required to be knowledgeable of that and to practice accordingly. So I would hope that with the introduction of this requirement, that there would be less opportunity for abuse. However, having said that, and having worked with enough addicts, they're very resourceful people, and they will often find what they're looking for based on their hunger for the medication.
And any drug shortage is bad, but just how bad is this? And are we in panic mode right now?
Well, there are other similar acting medications. I think, you know, the greatest difficulty is that people who are searching for the medication, either rightly or wrongly, they aren't so aware that there are other medications available. And so they may unduly panic when they hear that there's a shortage, thinking that this is the only medication that's available to treat ADHD. Of course, if they then follow up and go to their doctor, the doctor will be able to assure them and say, no, there's still Ritalin that's available, there's still Dextrodine that's available, there's Vyvanse that's available, and there's probably others that I'm not thinking of at the moment. But there are alternatives. They're all within the same amphetamine class. And then, and usually it's that's sufficient. The only difficulty you might have is somebody may have a specific kind of biological system that only works well with Adderall and would not work well with these other medications. But that would be a very, very small number of people.
Thank you so much, Dr. Henry Koch, clinical psychologist specialist. The winners here are the drug makers, which are very similar to the opioid crisis, where millions of adults are now hooked on these prescription stimulants. The global ADHD drug market is expected to reach over $25 billion by 2025, with more than 6 million children in the U.S. alone diagnosed with ADHD. While this is absolutely a real condition and disease, the American trend of taking the shortcut and pushing pills to treat the symptoms rather than the cause is making this a much bigger deal than it actually is, and it's causing the subsequent addiction problems. Much of this is thanks to the campaigning efforts of Big Pharma. Elsewhere in the world, in places like Europe and Asia, governments encourage the use of a comprehensive approach for the treatment of ADHD, which includes behavior management skills, academic support, psychological support, and medicine as a measure of last resort. I'm Christy Eye. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.